Well, I'm telling you, I can't say loud enough or long enough, God bless Brother Tommy, Miss Christina, and all who helped them. God bless them. You really are doing something, you who work with them, that I'm going to talk about for a few moments. The most immediate thing we see is that we're teaching the children the Word of God through song. But you know what else you're doing? You're building the next youth group. You really are. And a varsity coach that doesn't care anything about junior varsity has lost something between his ears. You're not going to have a team tomorrow if you don't give consideration to those that's coming behind. And the church is supposed to be concerned about every age group. And really what we do is that we hold forth the word of life in all we do, whether that's a children's activity or a senior adult activity. Because when all has come and gone, souls of men are going to remain, and the Word of God's going to remain. And tonight, I'm going to take just a very few minutes. I felt in my heart I should preempt the study of Ephesians to deal with this business of the value of ministry, just like you've just seen. And did you know the Bible indicates that the type of thing you just saw is ministry, but did you know the Bible indicates that you can give a cup of cool water in the name of Jesus, and that's ministry also? There is no insignificant ministry when you do what you do for Jesus to impact the life of somebody else. Is that good or what? It really is. So go with me. I really want to look at just two verses. Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. And when I conclude here in just a few minutes, I've asked Brother John Yates to come and just share with us an opportunity of ministry we're going to have in the coming weeks that should cause us to go to prayer and gratitude to God for what we have before us as opportunities. Anytime there's an opportunity to touch young children or any other group of people in the community, we ought to praise God for that. Because, you know, folks, in this hour, the New Testament church has closed doors. Wherever you go, you can't go knock on doors like you used to because they'll say no solicitation or no soliciting. And so we just thank God for that. Well, look at Philippians 2, and you will recall as you look at that chapter that that in Philippians chapter 2, down around verse 5, I guess, is where he told us to let the mind of Christ be in us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to take time to quote that. You know that good as I do. And then you get down to around verse 12, and he said, now, beloved, as you've always obeyed, meaning that that's been the drive of our heart, won't obey God, not just, Paul says to the Philippian believers, not just when I'm there, not in my presence only, but when I'm absent, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what that means is let your salvation work out of you. He doesn't mean for you to decide really what salvation looks like. Folks, he's told us what salvation is. Now, let the salvation of our God work out of your heart and your life day by day by day by day. And he makes this statement, verse 13, that it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now look at me carefully. If it is God that's working in you and me, he uses the word both. Both means there's more than one thing. It's God that worketh in you both to will, that's what he wants to do. Let him decide what your life needs. And then he says to do it, to perform it of his good pleasure. You know that we don't own ourselves. He bought and paid for us. We observe the Lord's table this morning and know the price he paid for us. And so I am a servant of his. And you're never any greater, said the Savior, than when you serve. It's not about a title. It's not about a position. It's about a relationship. And he wants our relationship with him to be something that serves. And after he said, it's God that works in you to will and do of his good pleasure, he said, now let me remind you of something. You need to do whatever you do, verse 14, without murmurings and disputings. You know what a murmur is? A murmur is just somebody, it's really, I'll use a 50 cent word here. The word murmur is known as an onomatopoetic. And it means that when you pronounce the word, you are really basically giving the definition of it. Listen to this. I want everybody just collectively in the room to say, murmur, murmur, murmur. Join me. Murmur, 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 murmur. And you want to know what my parents called that? A yan-yan. A yan-yan would be another onomatopoetic. It means I'm just sort of growling and grumpy and I'm not saying much of anything. And he said, you don't need to get in that position, because if you start murmuring, you know what a murmur creates? A dispute. And dispute is when the people of God are not working together and they fall out. Now, what they don't realize is right before you fall out with each other, you must fall out with God, because you can't walk with God and fall out with others. You can walk with God and disagree with others, but you can't walk with God and be disagreeable. And the disagreeable spirit among God's people is what puts the thing he's about to say, it puts it very much in question, and it arrests what God wants to do. Now look at it. These are two verses I want to deal with. Here's why I want you to remember what I just said to you, said the apostle. I want you to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. And I want you to do it without rebuke in the midst of, this is where you live as God's people, no matter what generation, you're living in the midst of people that are crooked and perverse. And you, he said to the Philippian believers, the place where you live, the people are crooked and perverse. And I have put you there on purpose, because among these people, you are shining as lights. Shining is a New Testament word, means to show and appear as lights. Now, what does a light do? What does that word light mean? It means that you reveal and that you, by your life, inspire others to do good, he said, in the world. And then he made this statement, holding forth the word of life. Holding forth, when you hold something, you either detain it or you retain it. And I want you to retain, holding forth, the word that is the cause and the communication of life. Now, what is life as it's used there? You may have heard one of the speakers at the Bible conference talk about the Greek word zoe. And Zoe, as used in that word life, means basic and real. It is the invariable nature of what God intended my life and yours to be. And the reason I want you to do that is so that I may rejoice, Paul said, in the day of Christ, because I want it to be that if I run, I'm not running in vanity. I'm not just trying to spin my tires. I want this to be meaningful for the kingdom of God. I want it to be meaningful in your hearts. And I don't want it to be that our labor is in vain. Now, can I give you three things out of what I just read that I believe he's saying to us? First of all, we shine as lights. A moment ago, as we saw and witnessed what we witnessed with these children, we saw leaders as they've invested and children as they are expressing, holding forth the word of life. They are shining and they are showing and detaining and retaining what God wants us to do, the communication of the gospel. So we shine, they are appearing and they're showing. They're in their shining, they are dispelling the darkness. And the children took that wordless book. Was that not wonderful? I mean, I know you, like me, you wished you'd have seen a copy up here, maybe this big, but if the children, Miss Christina, did the children keep the books or turn them into you? Y'all tell me what she said. They keep them? All right, kids, when this service ends, you adults find one of these kids. If you see them, say, show me your book. You will like that. Just by the wordless book they gave the gospel, they're holding forth the word of life. Now, the second thing in the text we see is they not only shine, we hold forth that word of life. We retain the cause of Christ. With our hands, we can do many things. Now, think about this. As we serve and work and become what God wants us to become, I know some people that wring their hands. Why do people wring their hands? Well, sometimes it's fear and it's woe is me. But a child of God doesn't have to say woe is me. The woe of life is removed when Jesus comes into the heart. We can fold our hands and we can say, let somebody else do that. But that's not what a child of God wants to do in fulfilling those two verses. We can clap our hands in recognition of an impressive deed that's been done by somebody else. And we can also put our hands to a noble task. Do you not find it more than wonderful that Miss Christina and Tommy came to Brother David and said, "We got something on our hearts"? This is not a cause for sympathy or pity. But folks, God needs to put something on the heart of somebody other than the pastor and staff and the elders. If you only knew what the elders do to keep the cogs turning and greased, folks, if you're not careful, you have to get into the mechanics of church, because no machine or engine runs on autopilot. Somebody has to keep it operable. And while that's happening, it can sometimes take away from the focus we all want to keep. What can I do to bring glory to Christ through my church and make an impact on lives? And for Tommy and Christina, they had a burden to do what you just witnessed. I think that's fabulous. Amen. And it may be something like that you need to do. So we can put our hands to a task and do something. And in doing it, what are we seeking to do? Give our fullest expression of the love of Christ Jesus. I think I saw it a while ago, didn't you? Aren't you grateful for that? One other thing, we rejoice in verse 16, he said. I want you to get this right, said the apostle, because that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, because we are all going to face him, and that I've not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We rejoice that what we're doing in God's kingdom and God's work is not vain. You know, the world tells us every day, I don't know what you're wasting your time for. You are not winning. Don't you understand you're supporting a losing cause? That's what the world says. Every time we see a survey who are ministers or pastors or preachers, they're telling us that Christianity is dying, the church is not doing very well, this is the most awful hour in Christianity to be a part of the church and to think you're going to make an impact, and the devil says you're just not going to make an impact. We rejoice that what our work is a valuable work because of who it ultimately belongs to and because of who our leader is. And our run and our course and our purpose is not empty. There is eternal consequence to what we're doing. When I think of these children, did you know I remember right now the words and music to songs I learned sitting out there in a congregation and later in a youth group? These kids are going to take what we just witnessed. And when they are my age and beyond, if time still is, they're going to remember that. I could call the name. When it's kind of funny as we view church today, but the first man that led our youth choir when I was about 15 years of age, and we did not have one previous and we started one, that man had to be in his 70s, and he's leading a youth choir. I remember him, I remember his name, I remember the music, and he invested himself. And somebody could have said, "What's that old man doing that for? Those kids don't care nothing about him." And some may have said, "I'm not sure he cares anything about those kids." Let me tell you what, he cared about the Savior, and he cared that the kids know something of the Savior. And he invested the best he had as he used his hands, knowing that the course we run is not in vain, and our labor, our energy, and our effort is not in vain. The skeptic could say, "Does it pay to serve Jesus? I don't see very much about your life, and I think you're very unusually blessed." Well, folks, let me tell you something. Not a one of us have been to payday yet. You hadn't been paid yet. Now, we've had blessings along the way, but our ultimate payday is going to be after we close our eyes for the final time. And I'll just tell you, based on everything the Bible teaches, not one has left this life and gone before the presence of God, absent from the body and present with the Lord, and thought, "You know, I regret that I serve God." That's never happened. Never happened. You know what I don't say it every time, but I often say it. What I think people say, if they could speak back from the grave while we're having their funeral service, I think they would say something like this, which I think probably I'm going to say. "Boy, I wish I'd known more about this. I didn't even scratch the surface. If we could just see what's at stake, and if we could just see the Savior for who He really is, we would want to give ourselves to teaching children. You say, well, Pastor, I can't teach children. I can't hardly even beat that drum. I can't even beat a bucket. Yeah, but let me tell you something. Somewhere, there's either a bucket you can beat or a cup of cool water you can give in the name of Jesus. And John Yates is going to come tell us about something else we can do to maybe impact an area of this community like we never have. Come, Brother John, and share that, would you? And when you get through, I'll close out with a prayer.
Well, the Lord has sent a new campus minister to the Baptist Collegiate Ministries at Valdosta State University. His name is David Williams, and he has come to this position out of the local church pastorate, and he believes in the local church. His goal is to reach students for Jesus through the BCM and then help those students plug into local Baptist churches. He makes it very clear the BCM is not the church. We're to support and help the church. And David is inviting Morningside and other local churches to partner with the BCM to try to reach VSU students. And through this partnership, we're going to be able to do some outreach activities on campus, something we've not been able to do before. We can also adopt a building. He's encouraging churches to do that, a residence hall or some other building, and pray for and try to share the gospel with the students who live there. So I'm excited to share with you, church family, that Morningside Baptist Church is adopting 3 residence halls for the coming academic year. We've got some pictures on the screen here. They're located right close together. They kind of share some common walkway areas and that sort of thing. We have adopted Georgia Hall, Langdale Hall, and Reed Hall. I told David we'd love to have freshman dorms if possible, and these 3 residence halls house more than 1,000 students. Georgia Hall has 478 freshmen and some upperclassmen. Langdale Hall, 478 freshmen. Reed Hall is a smaller dorm, 88 freshmen and honors program students. Now, what does all of that mean to us as a church? First, I'm asking you to pray regularly for the students who live in those 3 dorms. Secondly, our college and career ministry will hold monthly outreach activities outside these dorms to try to connect with and witness to the residents. You can't go knock on doors in the dorms. They don't allow that. You can't even get in the dorms. But we can set up outside and try to interact with the students. For example, we might set up outside with a tent and a table and grill hot dogs, or we might set up cornhole boards or pass out cookies and other goodies. And the purpose of all of those activities is simply to start conversations with the students, invite them to church, and give them the gospel through a verbal witness or a printed tract. So I'm asking you to pray for the 1,000 students or so who will start moving into Georgia Hall, Langdale Hall, and Reed Hall a week from tomorrow is when they'll start moving in. And so I'm asking you to pray for them, put them on the prayer list, pray for them week to week throughout this year. We'll also need volunteers to help with the outreach activities, and we'll undoubtedly need donations of cookies or other items. This is a church-wide effort. Our college and career group may be at the forefront, but this is a church-wide effort. So I'm asking you, please, let's pray that God will draw many students to Himself through this activity and this effort. Thank you.
And amen, amen. Well, church, God's going to send some people to this town to go to college. And the motive for which they came, if we only knew what that was in many of those cases, is not an honorable motive. I've asked some of the people that visited here, you say you live in North Georgia, what brought you to Valdosta? You want to know the truth? I said, sure, to get as far from home as I could get. But they don't care what we know until they know that we care. And that's the whole purpose of ministry. They won't read a Bible, but they'll read our spirit. They know when somebody's a fake. They know when somebody's interested. And it may be that the bucket God wants you to beat is the bucket of preparing cookies or go stand under a tent or pass out water or do anything to encourage our own college group as they do what they do. We'll do our best once college gets back in. We will try to list on our prayer sheets, pray for the students of these three halls that Brother John mentioned. Because as we pray to a God who even right this moment, He knows every student that's going to be in every room. Is that not exciting? Amen. We don't have to go to Him. Now, you and I didn't know what Brother John just said. He was informing us when we get ready to pray. We can't inform our God. He knows it all. And He's got a plan and a purpose. And it's always smart to find out where God is working and what the opportunities are and get in on it. Amen. Let's pray together. Would you stand with me? We're going to enter into a time of commitment. And as we do, let me just lead us in prayer. Brother David will lead us in the song in just a moment. And then if you want to approach the altar to pray about this project, pray about these children. Folks, Brother John said there would be more than 1,000 students. You reckon God would let us reach 10% of them? Would that be wonderful? And you reckon a soul of that young college student that's headed on a broad road, boy, I mean headed to a bad place. You reckon the Lord would let us give enough of His love and the gospel to see that soul head a different direction? What a joy that could be. If we could encourage some who may know Him, but they need encouragement in their walk and they're discouraged. What an opportunity. Precious Father, we feel so inadequate for the opportunities and responsibilities of ministry. And Lord, I know a great reason why we do it is because we are. We, Lord, can't do anything without Your help. And we pray tonight that our dependence will be solely upon You and that You will make this ministry and every other ministry we seek to do personal in our hearts. Lord, may we after tonight not even see a little child but what we don't think and pray. Lord, send that child to our church so they can be a part of the children's music. Or if we see a youth, Lord, send that youth to our church so that they can be under the teaching ministry of our youth department. Lord, when we see somebody that just seems like they might be lonely and that they may be acting like in life they're just out of place, Lord, would You help us show them there is a place in life for them and more importantly in the work of Your life. Thank You, O God, for the absolutely eternal impact that is possible when we do ministry. May we want to hold forth the word of life. May it be that we do not do it in vain, for we know, as You've told us elsewhere, that our labor is never in vain in the Lord. So may we be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, because given how You were steadfast and unmovable going to Calvary, may we be steadfast and unmovable representing what happened at Calvary. Thank You for this church family. Bless them, everyone. And bless them now in these moments when we will pray and respond in our hearts to You. For some, that might be publicly at the altar. For others, it might not be. But whatever, Lord, You desire out of any of our lives, whether it's those watching by live stream or whatever, may, Lord, You receive from us tonight what You want us to do and to be and to become and to how we can represent You. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.